Now before we sing two old choruses, we're going to read the scriptures. We're going to read from Hebrews chapter 1 and a portion from John chapter 9. Remember this morning we looked at the theme, what think ye of Christ? Tonight we want to think of what say ye of Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to read the first four verses. Lovely having you all here tonight. We trust that to bless you. Thank you much joy for being with us. And remember and be much in prayer regarding these particular gatherings when we see God's hand working in a very real and definite way. Remember again, make them known and tell others of the meetings, those who are in the local area, and invite them to come along with you both in the morning and to the evening services. And in view of that, please read the 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy. If you like to pronounce it Deuteronomy, you may. But it's still Deuteronomy. I was speaking at the Bible College in Phoenix, Arizona, and after speaking to the student body, Dr. Oltrogay, who said to pronounce his name Oltrogay, namely Oltrogay, he said, Mr. Boswell, how would you pronounce the fourth book of the Bible? Do you pronounce it Deuteronomy or Deuteronomy? I said, Deuteronomy, doctor, how do you? Said Numbers. Verse number one. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, speak in time past and the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and beholding all things by the word of his power. Now I want to read that again. Who being the brightness of his glory, and express image of his person, and beholding all things by the word of his power, the same glorious one, when he had by himself, purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now keep your finger there, but go back to John chapter 9. John and the 9th chapter, please, reading at verse number 17. John 9, verse 17. Remember in our reading this morning from Matthew chapter 16, the Lord asked the question, whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And he came a little closer. He always does that, you know. He came close and said, but whom say ye that I am? Now keep that before you think, read verse 17. Let's say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? What sayest thou of him? Now, that one question is encircled by another three questions. Notice verse number 36. He answered and said, who is he? Who is he? Now go back to verse 26. They said unto him again, what did he? What did he? Then go back to verse number 12. Where is he? Where is he? Now you got the answer to these three questions. Who is he? What did he? Where is he? In Hebrews 1 verse number 3. Who is he? Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. What did he? By himself purged our sins. And where is he? At the right hand of the majesty on high. May the Lord add his blessing to that reading from his word to our hearts tonight. Let's sing the old chorus, shall we? Let the Lord have his way in your life day by day. There's no rest, there's no peace, for the Lord has his way. Place your life in his hand, stay secure in his hand. Let the Lord have his way. Up hands all who remember it. Oh, the one or two. Oh, more. There they're coming.
You ought to have asked them to go to Jacksonville tomorrow.
That's very good.
Fine. Thank you.
Now, if you sing this one very well, and the next one, I'll teach you a new one altogether on Tuesday. Everyone, right? Let the Lord have his way in your life every day. There's no peace, there's no rest, till the Lord has his way. Take your life in his hand, take the chance in his hand. Let the Lord have his way.
I've been told I've never heard that quoted before. Now, where have you been all this long time? It's just so good having you tonight. Let us have it once more, then.
Let the Lord have his way in your life every day. There's no peace, there's no rest, till the Lord has his way. Raise your life in his hand, but safety goes in his hand. Let the Lord have his
way. That's wonderful. Now the new one, the new old one, eh? It's a new life. Oh, how he changed me. A new life. He rearranged me. A new life. Deeper, richer, and fuller is a wonderful, wonderful. Do you remember all now? You come on, right? Lovely tune. Just keep your seats, though. All together.
It's a young life. It's a how he changed me. A young life. It's a big life, it's a big life, a deeper and wide, it's a wonderful.
Very good.
Because it's the old life and God has its king. Because of the wrinkles and God of the king. Because it's the darkness and God is the night. I have found Jesus, the truth and the light. It's a great life, it's a great life, a great life, you'll never lose it. A great life, oh, why don't you? It's a...
Let me hear you sing wonderful. Well, that doesn't sound wonderful up here. Come on, still again, it's a... Very good. That's really one. Will you do it exactly well? Well, I think once more. Do you like to stand to sing it? Because I know that you sing far better than a lady came to me the other night, miles away from here. Said, Mr. Bond, what does that mean, gone with the wrinkles? Now, I looked at her. No wonder she asked. Because the verse is found in Ephesians chapter 5. No more blemish, nor wrinkle, or any such thing. Won't that be wonderful? Second, everyone rise and sing it right out. It's a new life. All together, right?
It's a young life. It's a how he gave me a young life. He rearranged me. Oh, richer and full. It's a wonderful, wonderful life. It's a big life. It's a how he filled me a big. Deeper and wider. It's a wonderful life. They call it the old life and all that it came. They call out the faithful and all of the same. They call it the darkness and call it the night. I have found Jesus, the truth and the light. It's a great life. They could not be choosing a great life. They shall never lose a great life. Oh, why don't you just get the...
Very good. That's just absolutely wonderful. Now, you know, you're just sang like a crowd of teenagers. I think that was really wonderful. The Lord bless you. Right over. What says thou of him? Now, when we come to a question like this, we just can't find words sufficient to adequately express all that's in our heart concerning our adorable Lord Jesus. We could only tell another as we know him, then I'm quite sure you would make him yours tonight. Isn't that true? Oh, the joy. He's a wonderful Lord. Right, oh then, who is he? What did he? Where is he? Who is he? He is the creator of all things.
He is the upholder of all things by the word of his power. He is the giver of life to all. He's the one who shall yet judge the whole universe. Who is he? He is the indispensable Christ. Worlds are dependent upon him. By him all things consist. By him all things are held together. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. Even as he lay in the lap of Mary, his mother, there as a helpless baby, utterly depending upon Mary, yet at the very same time, worlds upon worlds were depending upon him. Isn't that just wonderful? And tonight, we are dependent upon him. We're depending upon him right now for the very breath we're breathing. He's a giver of life to all. Had he to let go, we would be gone. The question is, will it bound? I repeat, he is the indispensable Christ. We cannot do without him. Father, he's inexhaustible Christ. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and all the fullness of the Godhead bodily is treasured up in our adorable Lord Jesus Christ. A lady went into the office of the late Dr. Schofield, the medical doctor. She was somewhat under the weather, somewhat down. The doctor diagnosed the cause, and he said to her, "Mrs. Brown, you take that fine glass from my desk, go across that globe, and draw the pint of clear crystal water." She went across and drew off the pint of water, came back, replaced with a glass upon the table. The doctor said, he said to her, "Now look, you drew that pint of water from that globe." "Yes." "Well, can you explain why the globe is still full? Yet you've drawn this pint of water away from it." She said, "No, doctor, I know I brought that water from the globe. How it's still full, I simply don't know." He looked and said, "That's quite all right, Mrs. Brown. I have a reservoir on the top. And no matter how much you may draw from that globe, the water is still running in." Now, isn't that so with the Lord Jesus? Millions upon complete satisfaction in the Lord Jesus. And yet, my friend, is enough to meet the deepest need of your heart tonight. And whatever that need may be, he can meet that need. Whatever that question, he's the answer. Whatever the problem, he's the solution. There's an inexhaustible supply treasured up in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. For the Lord, he's the incomparable Christ. With him none other can be compared. He stands up unique, the fairest of the fair, chief over all, Lord over all, blessed forever. He's conspicuous, he's brilliant, he's pure, he's radiant. And with him there's no one can be ever compared. He's matchless. We bow before him. Then last in this connection, he is inescapable Christ. Inescapable. My friend, we must meet him. Either in time present, in his day of grace, and acknowledge him as a Lord and Savior, or in eternity, but meet him we must. He is inescapable and unavoidable. We are going to come in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, the man of Golgotha, now the man in the glory. We're going to see him. The Bible says, every eye will see him, every knee will bow to him, every tongue will confess that he is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Happy are we tonight, who have been wise unto salvation, and we acknowledge him as Lord over all in our life. And from our very heart we have prayed, "Reign over me, Lord Jesus, reign over all within. Make me a loyal subject to thee in everything." Or it may be, "O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement hast given thyself to me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give, henceforth to live. O Christ, for thee alone, isn't he worthy? Yea, 10,000 times 10,000, he alone is the worthy one." But all that before you, I want to give you 5 points that you may carry away with you. One for each finger in the one hand. What sayest thou of him? His life is purer than the purest life. His life is purer than the purest life. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 5, you read,
He was manifested to take away our sins, but in Him was no sin. His life is purer than the purest life. He said this morning, His Father said, "This is my beloved Son whom I will please." His friend said, "He did no sin and you no sin. There's no sin found in Him." Very close said, "I find no fault in Him, nothing worthy of death in Him. I have sinned, and I have betrayed the innocent blood." My friend is the all pure, sinless Son of the living God.
May I ask you, have you found any imperfection in Christ? Have you found any impurity in Christ? Beloved, He's a holy, sinless Son of God. And His life is pure and the purest life. And the Bible says, He was manifested to take away our sin. But in Him, no sin. Can any man redeem his brother? Or give to God a ransom for his soul? God looked around among human beings. Abraham, Joseph, come right down the line, not one without sin. And God demanded a sinless blood sacrifice. No man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for his soul. The first woman in America to go to the electric chair was a woman found guilty of child murder. There the male prisoners heard of this, they volunteered to die in her place. Now they had been found guilty, they were condemned to death. But when they heard about this woman going to the chair, they volunteered to die in her place. When the news came before the authorities, they did not take long to discard it with these words: "One guilty person cannot die in the place of another guilty person." And that woman went to the chair and paid the full penalty of her sin by herself. Now, did you get it? One guilty person cannot die in the place of another guilty person. Beloved, we are all guilty. You cannot die for me. I cannot die for you. Stand before God tonight guilty. I have a wonderful message for you. God said, deliver that soul from going to the pit. I have found a ransom. Who is the ransom? The darling of His own heart. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. I know people today saying, we're far too refined, far too well educated, far too cultured, be troubled about everything called sin. Don't talk about sin. Put a soft pedal upon sin. Beloved, a little girl one day went into her mother's room. She saw there the medicine cabinet. She opened the door and she looked, she saw a bottle and words written on the label, essence of peppermint. I like essence of peppermint. So she takes the bottle down, removes the cork, had the drink of the liquid, put the cork back, replaced the bottle, went out shutting the door. But it wasn't very long before she became violently ill and was sent for the doctor. He did not take long to diagnose the case. The girl had been poisoned. The mother was quite frantic, said, "Doctor, your diagnosis must be altogether wrong. I haven't given my little child any poison. I'm sure she hasn't taken any of the poison, doctor." That little girl screamed, "Dad, Mummy, Mummy, I had some essence of peppermint." At that moment, the mother went quite hysterical. On the label written the words essence of peppermint, but in that bottle was arsenic. Now, you may call sin by any fanciful name you like. You may call it juvenile delinquency, a mishap, a misdemeanor, a mistake, a misfortune, but God calls sin, sin. And the right thoughts about sin, the right thoughts about God. The right thoughts about God tell catastrophe. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. Thank God tonight, He who knew no sin was manifested to take away our sin.
Aren't you glad about that tonight? Doesn't that do something in your heart?
Can't you hear the message coming down from the throne tonight saying, deliver that soul from going to the pit. I have found the ransom. And here again the word, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but everlasting life. Hear me sometimes sing. In the Bible hymn book, also the Church of England hymn book, eternal light, how pure the soul must be. When praise is in night, searching sight, it shrinks not, but with calm delight, can live and look on thee. Isaiah had that revelation, he cried, woe is me, for I am undone, I am a man of unclean lips. And the Jew had the same revelation of the inflexible holiness and intrinsic righteousness of our adorable Lord Jesus. He cried, behold, I am vile, I lay my hands upon my mouth. I remember too, how Paul had the same revelation and imagine the glory of God, and he cried in me, that's in my flesh, as well as no good thing, and the crown of my head, the sole of my feet, I am utterly corrupt.
You see yourself like that, in the light of God's inflexible holiness, his intrinsic righteousness, his majesty and his glory before whom the very heavens are not pure. My friend, apart from the shed blood of Jesus Christ, there's no redemption, and there's no salvation, and there's no cleansing from sin. 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Thank God that one of you knows sin. He came sin for us. And we through his death, we need the righteous God in him. The wonder of his glory is true.
His life is purer than the purest life. Secondly, his power is mightier than the mightiest power. There are some mighty powers in the world tonight. But you bring all these powers together, and there is no power so mighty as the power that's invested in the Holy Son of God. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. John 1 verse number 12 says, just many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them believe on his name. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power, the dynamite, the word is really dynamos, of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. 1 Corinthians 1:4:24. God made Christ be unto us the wisdom of God and the power of God. The most tragic verse in the Bible is John 1 verse number 11. You know what it says? He came unto his own. His own received him not. The most triumphant verse is verse number 12. I know it's very poor English use in many conjunctions. Here's one I never tire using. But as many as received him, not it, not a cult, not a creed, not a catechism, not a religion, not a church membership. As many as received him, then gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Beloved, with my thinking congregation tonight, and people whom I know are out for fact, you want that which is rational and logical and sane, don't you? The head surgeon of the General Hospital, Akron. His wife came through to the Lord Jesus some time ago. About a year ago this month. Another fearful young married woman came out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Began to work upon her husband. The doctor asked his wife, the next time I came into the area, we'd have a meeting in their home. God met that man, and God saved him that very night. The head surgeon of Akron General Hospital. A high school teacher, another husband was saved that same night. A civil engineer, another husband saved that same night. That doctor turned around, I heard him give his testimony in Arizona.
He's now moved down to the fort, down to Sierra Vista. He and his wife went down there in September, again the head surgeon. They started a Bible study in their own home. The medics, those in medicine, dentistry, pharmacy, and so on. Things mushroomed. He goes, "Nancy, where's Jim? Come down. You must come down. I've led him as far as I can. I can't lead them any further. I was supposed to be in Bermuda for the whole month of January. I canceled Bermuda out. This is far more to me than going to Bermuda. Going down there by God's grace." Young people from Tucson, Arizona University there in Tucson, they heard that we were coming down. They phoned, "Can you possibly give us 1 week? Can you give us 1 week for an oral effort among the students?" I said, "Contact Dr. Vasco and find out." He said, "Yes, in 1 week." We went there. What happened? One building got far too small. The next building got far too small. Young men and young women who are looking for facts, they're fed up with the phony ideas that they see amongst the older people. They're turning away from organized religion today. And young men and young women are desirous to see getting right with God. They broke down and went right through for Christ. You can pull the wool over older people's eyes, you'll never do it over a teenager's eyes. A teenager can see through a phone as quick as lightning. God moved there. We went down to John the doctor. Morning, evening, majors, colonels, and officers were trusting Christ for salvation. Because I preached? No, because that young couple laid their lives upon the altar for Jesus Christ. And then I was waiting for me last night when I arrived here. What happened? An assembly has been born down, right down there in the fort. In Sierra Vista. An assembly has been formed. Planted, I believe, by the Holy Spirit. All this is a short time. God is good. What got through to that doctor as he gave his testimony down there in Arizona? I never heard it before. He said, a Roman Catholic background, a working Roman Catholic too, a practicing Catholic, brought up with it all his life. But he says, "I listen. I believe all the historical facts concerning Christ, his virgin birth, his virtuous life, his vicarious death, his victorious resurrection, his visible return. I believe in heaven. I believe in hell. I believe there's no salvation apart from Jesus Christ." But he said, "I never had anything logical and sane and rational in my life. And I trusted Christ. I received as my Lord and Savior. What I believe in my mind all these years, I now acted upon and received Christ into my heart. And became a new creation in Christ Jesus." You. A minute ago I said, verse number 11 of John chapter 1 is the most tragic verse in the Bible. Beloved, you may be here tonight and you got property. You got possession. You got social prestige. You got wonderful position. Your intellectual ability. Your scholastic achievement. But you're here tonight without Christ, your life's a tragedy. You have never started to live. You're just drifting. 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 Oh, the tragedy. That can be all transformed tonight into glorious strife. But why what? By doing what? By receiving Christ by faith into your heart. And receiving Christ to receive power. Oh, I would be saved, but I don't think I could keep it. No, neither can I. But thank God when he comes, he brings all the keeping power with him. And what does the Bible say? We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. I love that, don't you? I said a minute ago that verse in Romans 1:16 is not merely dynamite. You take a stick of dynamite, you ignite it under the devastating blast. Paul knew that, but the word is dynamos. Where you get the word dynamo from? Where comes into the dynamo comes into your being. My friend, when you receive Christ by his birth, all the dynamo comes into your being. Not you trying to live the Christian life. He by his birth lives that life through you day by day. He comes in your kept. Now you yield day by day to the power of the indwelling spirit. Oh, the joy. Oh, the peace. Come with me now on your mind. Now I want to take you a little slower. I want to try to tell you with the break off. There it is. I am coming a little slow with you now. You're coming with me. I know you are. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. Now please, those awe-inspiring, breathtaking words. This comes to my friend in that condition and position and state of holy reverence. How you hear Paul breathing on his heart. God, by the exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, placed him far above all principality and power, might and dominion, named his name, not only in this world, also in that which is to come, for all things under his feet, given him to be head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Beloved, get it. God, by not the greatness of, but the exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ, it was a liberating power. It was a bodily resurrection from out among the dead. Handle me and see, touch me. A spirit of not flesh and bone, you see me have. And he ate with them. He drank with them. He prepared breakfast for them. After his resurrection, it was a bodily liberating resurrection from out among the dead. It's an elevating resurrection. For remember, it says, and he says, and place them far above all principality and power, might and dominion. He placed them far beyond all distinction of power. Every name that is named above all description of power, not only in this world, also in that which is to come, beyond all dispensation. He placed them far beyond all distinction, description, and dispensation of power. Now, look, he says, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now. From the fight return victorious, every knee to him shall bow. That great God of honor is standing there at attention. The cherubim, the seraphim, the archangel, all the angelic hosts are there as a great God of honor. I see the mighty conqueror over sin and death and hell and Satan rises. And his soul right up, 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 far above all that rainbow and silver throne. And the head once crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. A royal diadem adorns the mighty victor's brow. And oh child of God, who might look away. Can you see him by faith right there now? Far above all, Jesus crucified is exalted far above all. Kingdoms may rise, kingdoms may fall. Jesus the crucified is exalted far above all. Not only is a liberating, elevating power, is a subjugating power. Let's put all things under his feet, given him to be head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, for it all and in all. Beloved, oh, beloved, I left one little phrase out. I did it purposely. May I go back? Coming with me? God, by the exceeding greatness of power, here it is, to us were who believe. Oh, beloved, all this liberating, elevating, subjugating power that came to the Lord Jesus Christ, invented all power in heaven and in earth, came into your life and came into my life. We not only see the supernatural life, we see the supernatural power. And all this power is at our disposal. It's at our disposal to believe that tonight. And yet we go around like spiritual paupers. We get spiritual multi-millionaire. We go around like spiritual weakling. Spirit of giants. His light is pure in the purest light. His power is mightier than the mightiest power. And all this power came into your life and my life the moment we're born again. All this power is at our disposal. I want you to get that, beloved, tonight. I'm in a hurry.
His love is greater than the greatest love. I think the strongest form of human love, the love of a mother for a child. The Bible says, will a woman forget her sucking child? And the Spirit of God uses that with all reverence and sincerity and specifically. You mothers know, the hardest thing out ever for a mother, apart from the child that's once nestled down upon that breast, and all the surge of mother love and motherhood surge through these young veins, and all the thrill and the joy and all the ecstasy, my friend, surging through your whole being, for you to part with that child. The Bible says she may, but he says, I will never forget thee. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, a love that many waters cannot quench, a love that is stronger than death. This love is greater than the greatest love. It was this love that brought him down from the height of heavenly glory, that the best thing was made, right on the Calvary's cruel cross of Gethsemane's garden. Then Gethsemane's garden, remember, he sweat with great drops of blood. He being in an agony, the only time you ever read the word agony in the Bible is in Luke 22. And he, the Lord of life and glory, being in an agony. Gethsemane, can I forget? There thy conflict see, that agony and blood like sweat and not remember thee. When to the cross I turn mine eyes and rest on Calvary. O Lamb of God, my sacrifice, I must remember thee. Was it the nails, Lord Jesus, bound thee to the tree? And it was thy love, thine eternal love. Thy love for me, oh, make me understand it. Help me to take it in, what it meant for you, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, our thorns compose as a richer crown? Where the whole realm of nature and mind, that were an offering far too small, love, that's it. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my life, my all. How greatly Jesus must have loved me. You too. How greatly Jesus must have loved me to bear my sin, to bear my sin. Have you thanked him? If not, will you do tonight? The Royal Scot was traveling from London to Aberdeen. Terrible storm had been raging for days. Especially this particular night, and early morning, a young shepherd boy went out to attend to his sheep, being exposed to the elements and to the deep snow. Wending his way toward the railway embankment, along which the main line did run between London and Aberdeen. He got toward the railway embankment, he looked and he saw the viaduct had given way. The railway lines are absolutely sprawling right down there on that terrible precipice. He knew it was about time for the Royal Scot to come along. He ran up the railway embankment, put his head down the railway line, and he listened. Yes, he could hear the rumbling of the express away in the distance. He thought he must stop that train, running as fast as legs could carry him through the deep snow, trying to get the signal box so the signal would be able to stop the engine from coming on. But unfortunately, as you look, the engine had just passed the signal box, too late to be stopped. He realized there was only one way of stopping that train. He took his coat off, began waving and shouting, "Stop! Stop!" The engineer saw him, but the train was running very late. So what is this fool pranking about there for? The train running late. The boy lies only one way, and he took that way. There was a shrieking brake. The engineer came out cursing as he came, but somehow or other he looked toward the front of his engine, and only a few yards away he saw that terrible hole. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Busy men came out from the compartments. Why did you stop? Leaned over the window. Why did you stop? We've gone wrong now. We're running late. We want to get into the city. Come and see. He went along. Wonderful engineer. How were you able to stop in time? How did you see it in time? The speed you were going at. How did you see it?
Lumpkins, his real tears welled up in his eyes. Just come with me. Walking along the railway embankment, near the rear of his train, between the railway line was a mangled body. Those men sobbed like children, took their hands or their hats off, and stood there and thanked God. Some had never prayed before, but they thanked God. And that young shepherd boy gave his life that day, and hundreds were saved because he gave his life. That I appointed the night of the good shepherd, the Lord of life and glory, said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Beloved, millions upon millions have been saved because the good shepherd laid down his life. Will you tonight take your hat off nicely, reverently? Will you bow your heart, surrender your will, and thank the Lord Jesus for giving his life for you? Can we surrender to him tonight? He may be Lord in your life.
Abraham Lincoln, the great country, the United States of America, has been carried to his place of burial. That day, thousands upon thousands of people are lining the street among the many liberated slaves. There's one man there, small of stature, colored fellow. He could not see over the crowd, he couldn't see past them. Standing by his side was a colored lady, tall, well-built young woman. As the funeral procession drew nearer and nearer, she stooped down and picked this man up bodily, and she said, take a long look, Harry. He died for you. Take a long look, Harry. He died for you. Beloved, I'm pointing tonight to a man, not in a casket, not on a cross, not in front of your very heart door, with nails pierced hands and feet. And I'm saying, take a long look, beloved. He died. The Son of God loved me and gave his life for me. If you forget everything else I'm saying tonight, these words will never be erased from your memory. If you go out of that door without Christ and you land in a lost eternity, these words will come back in all that pain and all that agony and all the stabbing pain. Take a long look, beloved. He died for you. The Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, his power, his life is pure in the purest life. His power is mighty in the mightiest power. His love is greater than the greatest love. And Paul said, remember, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. It's real to you tonight. It's real to you. His peace is sweeter than the sweetest peace. John 14:27, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Let it be afraid. He made peace by the blood of his cross. He is our peace. He's been justified therefore by faith. We have peace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Time won't allow me to develop this. May I give you an illustration? Now this painted lovely painting, a beautiful spring day. Spring flowers are appearing all around. The grass is a tender green. The sun shone all its strength and glory and beauty. Trees are wonderful foliage. The birds were singing the lovely song. The river was so placid. And the sun was shining down silvery light in that stream. Not a ripple upon the brook. He wrote peace, perfect peace. 1 month after finishing that painting, his wife went to heaven. 6 months afterward, his two lovely teenage daughters, his only children, John the mother, and John the glory, with one stroke. He went into his studio, looked at that painting, took them off him. He took it down, put up another canvas, and began to paint. This time he painted the trees were bare. They were bending before a terrific gale. The lightning flashed. The rain was coming in torrents. All along was bare and barn. The river was in full flood. He wrote underneath the painting, peace. Perfect peace. Where did he get the title? There was also a rock. In that rock was a deep cleft, and in that rock was a little bird. That bird was singing its song to the Mrs. Storm, sheltered in the rock. He was that little bird. The storm surged all around him, being feverishly against the bark of his life. He knew a deep, settled peace. The Lord could not take from him. Circumstances, sorrow, bereavement could not take from him. He knew a joy unspeakable flooding and filling his heart. He was all in your peace and in your song. His peace is sweeter than the sweetest peace. May I go back to this form, finish with the last one. His life is pure in the purest life.
His power is mighty and the mightiest power. His love is greater than the greatest love. His speech is sweeter than the sweetest speech. Lastly, His presence is better than the best presence. His presence is better than the best presence. Earthly friends will fail and leave you. The one day soothe, the next day grieve you. But this friend, he'll never deceive you. Oh, how he comes. Lo, I'm with you all the way. Even the consummation age. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll stay closer than any brother. Will you have this one tonight? Will you accept him tonight as your Lord, as your Savior?
In Southeast London, England, years ago, we were conducting a crusade there. The brethren did a very wise thing. They invited men of international renown to come to bear testimony for 10, sometimes 15 minutes during the program. This particular night, General Dobbing of Malta fame was invited. There were all people outside the auditorium and in. When Dobbing was going to speak, no building was large enough to hold the crowd. That night, thousands of people couldn't get into that large auditorium. I see Sir William now, as he stood there and he told what Christ meant to him as a boy 14 years of age. Way back yonder in Scotland, the Lord came into his life. What Christ meant to him through military college, through a very great military, war, including the Boer War. What Christ meant to him during the siege of Malta. They said it was never a military barricade that saved Malta, but a spiritual barricade that saved Malta, how she needs it tonight. Now I think I see a dear man now, to pull himself to his full height, looking around at vast crowd. He said, ladies and gentlemen, I stand here tonight with the whole of the British government behind me, and I commend my Savior to you. How easy was to rise to one feet and say, notice Sir William did not say, I commend a code. Not a creed, not a catechism, not a religion, not a church membership. I commend my Savior to you. Now I've known the Lord Jesus for over 40 years. We proved him in every part of the world. And he's never failed us once. And I commend Jesus Christ to you. Will you accept him tonight? Will you? Right now? Short word of prayer before we sing a hymn. So we bow together now in the presence of the Lord Jesus. We're so conscious of his nearness, and we're very much aware tonight of the Spirit's operation in our very midst. Many hearts are praying here tonight. Many hundreds away from here are praying tonight for this meeting. I wonder, the Lord Jesus stands at some heart's door here tonight saying, may I come in? Beloved, is it purity you're after? Purity of motive? Purity of action, purity of thought. Let Jesus come into your heart. He is purity. Is it power? Power to live an overcoming life? Power over self or sin? Let Jesus come into your life. He is power. Is it love? Do you suffer from an unforgiving spirit? Are you harsh? Are you critical? Are you lonely? Oh, please let Jesus come into your heart tonight. He is love personified. Is it peace? Peace of conscience? Peace of heart? Peace of mind? Let Jesus come into your heart. He is peace. Is it companionship? He is the best of all friends. In one moment's quiet, you make that decision right now. Just tell him you believe with all your heart he died for you upon that rugged cross. Tell him you believe he bore the penalty against your sin and thank him. Tell him you believe with all your heart that God raised him from the dead. You might be acquitted, justified from every claim of sin. And with your heart say, Lord, I quit with the old life. Now receive thee now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Blessed God, thy Word. Bless these beloved ones bowed in thy holy presence now, that not one may leave this building tonight without having seen the Lord, having heard his voice. May transaction take place tonight in all of our life, both saint and sinner alike. May all of us tonight know this purity and this power, this love, this peace, this wonderful companionship, this wonderful Christ life, living in us day by day. And we'll give thee all the glory for Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord. Amen. Hey, number 104. Hey, 105. 105. I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me the cord of love, and thus he bound me to him. Round my heart so closely twined those ties which not can sever, for I am his and he is mine forever and forever. 105. Please notice the word. In light of what we've been listening to, you know this friend. If not, why not? If in that quiet moment you made that decision, you come and tell us about it, will you? No buttonholing, no undue pressing. If you made that decision, do tell us. If you're not too sure what it means, you come and talk with us. That's why we're here. God bless you. Thank you. I found a friend, oh, such a friend. Such a friend, he bled, he died to save me, and not alone the gift of life, but his own self he gave me. Not that I have my own, I call, I hold it for the giver, my heart, my strength, my life, my all, are his, and his forever. Verse number 3, notice the word. I found a friend, oh, such a friend, all part of him. From him who loves me now so well, what power my soul can sever, life, or death, or earth, or hell? No, I am his forever. The last verse talks me perfectly. I found a friend, oh, such a friend, so kind and good and tender. All those were saved before they're 15 years of age. Before you're 15 years of age, I have my own hands up because I was 13. Put your hand down. Between 15 and 25. Between 15 and 25. Put your hand down. 35 and 45. Put your hand down. Between 45 and 55. Anyone see? 1. Put your hand down. Anyone between 55 and 65? Anyone older than that? I asked it the other night, there were 400 people at the meeting in Spanish Wells. Only about 982 people on the island, but you get between 300 and 400 people at the meetings. No, what island? May I pause here? I asked the question, anyone over 60 years of age, Captain Reggie Pinder put up his hands, yes, I was 62. The only person, the majority there and here were saved before they were 25 years of age. The longer you wait, the harder it is. The same sun that melts the wax will harden the clay. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Little benediction. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet abiding fellowship of the Holy Spirit be the enjoyed force of each one till that day when we shall see the lovely face of our adorable Lord Jesus Christ.